So welcome, everyone, on this beautiful day of October 16th. And I know that some people in some parts of the world are undergoing stress and challenge, and for them it may not seem beautiful, but somewhere for each one of us, there is a level of beauty to which we can see, kind of like the way we take off in an airline, in an airliner in stormy, rainy weather, and then we penetrate the storm, rise above the clouds, and see that all the while the sun was shining. It just wasn't shining in the momentary circumstances of our lives. And this is one of the reasons that in our blessing, I remind you to pray from the state of knowing that the sun is always shining somewhere in your life, no matter what is happening. It's the circumstances that capture our stress and duress and attention to predicaments that we find ourselves in. And we're going to talk more today about these predicaments and how they relate to the ground of our being. This is a very potent subject that we've been on for 2 or 3 weeks now, and I want to continue on it because there are many, it actually applies to every level of our life, not just the most divine and holy gateway to heaven, but to every level of our life. So we now have a sizable group of people on the call, and I just want to thank you for bearing with me with your patience before we get on to our new conference calling service. I had that all in place, but we had some challenges this last week that changed my priorities, and I need, when we changed our calling service, which I'm hoping to do this week, we need to do it in such a way that everyone is notified on all levels, from mailings to Facebook to website, everything, because I don't want to leave someone stranded on an old calling line. So it's really a big job to make sure that everyone is notified and notified in time to make the changes wherever you keep your notes. So I have every confidence and certainty that that will occur this week, because we have now finished our Energy of Life webinar, and we finished off some other important and challenging projects that we were working on this past week. Before we get started, I want to announce our follow-up webinar, which is, I have only announced this so far to our to the people who were enrolled in our Energy of Life course, but I want to announce it now to everyone, because actually some of the very potent information that was in our Energy of Life webinar would have been much easier to digest if everyone had had this subsequent course first. And I want to encourage everyone to take the subsequent course, because we will follow up after the first of the year with a second rendition of the Energy of Life webinar. I have to say that the Energy of Life webinar and what is coming now in the webinar that is called A Better Life are the two most important webinars I have ever given with Yeshua, other than possibly a close runner-up would be The Love That You Are. The Love That You Are is the central theme of Love Without End and the Keys of Yeshua and everything Yeshua taught us. And so that would always have to be at the top of the list. But in a world where we're all needing and wanting a better life, even those who have not been stressed by the economic situation, even those who are young and healthy, even those who are falling in love and finding the love of your life, the one thing we still all want is a better life. Maybe your finances are fine. Maybe your health is fine. Maybe your relationships are fine. Maybe you have the job you've always wanted. You just graduated from college and you think you have the world by the tail. You still want a better life. And the reason we want this is because all of us subscribed to plunge into the adventure. We subscribe to leave the heaven of our being, wherever that heaven was among all the people that joined us in the heaven of our being, into an adventure. And in the process of taking on that adventure, we forgot a great deal about who we are and a great deal about how life works above the clouds of circumstance. And so we take on this adventure, and sometimes we forget that that adventure is not about just having more money in the bank or better relationships or more fun and more picnics. We forget about that. And so we're not really prepared for how to deal with challenges when they happen. Now, this really applies to what you're getting out of this course as a blessing receiver and those of you who are blessing givers, because we only have a better life not through having more things or even adding on to our life more adventures or experiences, because those only dim down the basic light of our being. They're adding more layers onto who we are, more identities, more of I did this, I was that, I have accomplished this, I have these credentials and my resume now has five or six more additional accomplishments on it. That's not what makes a better life. It's not. And when we get to, this is why almost everybody, even people who are doing well in the material and social sense, almost everybody has a midlife crisis. It's true. Almost everybody does, because we spent the first part of our life growing up, and then we spent the next sector of our life growing into the adventures and accomplishments of our life. And then all of a sudden we find they're not doing it for us. It's not happening. Where in the world do I turn to find this inner passion, this inner fire, the light that I brought into the world? Basically, the ground of my being. And so that's what this new course is all focused on, is how do we get back to this basic accomplishment we all want, which is knowing how to just have a better life with whatever we have, with whatever relationship we have, with whatever goal, purpose, job, or amount of material abundance or lack thereof, with whatever health condition we have. Some of us have actually chosen to take on many, many challenges in life for the benefit it brings to our own edification and to the compassion it can build for us with others. And we don't want to disavow those challenges. We found inside those challenges the pure fire and passion of courage and honor and dedication and purpose. But we still want a better life. You see, this is a goal that applies to everything. And this course in a better life is something that everyone who's coming to receive blessings, you need this orientation. Well, how do I get a better life? Maybe I won't be healed of this illness, but inside of this illness, I want a better life. Maybe I won't become a zillionaire, but I still want to enjoy the prosperity that's around me, that's relevant to the life I have. How do I have a better life? Maybe because I have this covenant with a family, and my family's fairly dysfunctional, you might be saying, and I live in this part of the world, it really wasn't what I thought I would be doing. But I have a sense of dedication and a sense of honor inside of that. How do I have a better life? without judging anything around me. How do I have a better life? Well, that's what this webinar is about. And actually, when you have centered yourself in a better life, you will be receiving more of the blessings of God. And you'll actually be less overwhelmed when I know you're going to choose to understand more about this 85% of the universe, which is all about the energy of life. You see, science has only really plowed through about 15% of the universe. And it doesn't even understand all of that. But it charted it. Kind of like Magellan sailed around the world and charted most things. But if you look at the map he drew, it wasn't very accurate compared to what we can see from the satellites today. But at least it was the beginning of the charting of the world. Okay. Well, science has begun its charting and its rudimentary explanations of about 15% of the universe. And the remaining 85% is a mystery. And that mystery exists because they really don't have the tools and the orientation to explain the rest of the 85%. But actually, Yeshua says most of that 85% is the potential that has been given by the Creator for the supply and sustaining of everything that has been created that we can tap into and manage as the energy of life. But it takes a whole new orientation to find it, tap into it, and use it. And that's what we're studying in the Energy of Life webinar. So, as we stand on the edge of a new world that is needing to happen, I really am not a believer in the world coming to an end. I don't think anything will come to an end because everything that has happened for our ancestors and our personal heritage is important to the being and the life that we are. And I think we will cherish it in our memories no less than we have a fascination for the Neanderthals and for the people that came after them and our tribal ancestors. And we're fascinated with how they lived their life, who they were, how they thought, and even secrets of good living that they still may be able to offer us in terms of the way our bodies are wired for nutrition and sustenance. I think all that has ever been is held sacred. And all that has ever been will always be held sacred in the heart of God. So the way I look at the change is, be ready for what is about to happen, not for what is about to end. I don't think there's going to be any abrupt ending to anything. There will be a transition that will last probably for decades, if not centuries. But we are on the edge of a great new world about to happen. And we are embracing and honoring it, and it's up to us to learn the language of this new world, the language of how it's about to happen, and even a whole new orientation for not what I would call science, but I would call pragmatic management of the new energy of life that is falling upon us. It's always been here, but it's moving into the functional access of our being. But we find that from the ground of our being. So we've talked about the ground of our being a number of times from many different venues. And I had to walk into this very respectfully and very slowly because traditionally the ground of our being is, you might say, a secular way of referring to our Creator and the Holy of Holies, who is the ground of our being, perhaps even the Holy Spirit, Perhaps we might be speaking of the kingdom of heaven. We might be speaking of even Yeshua, who has lived and ennobled the template, the divine template from which humanity was created. So we enter this subject with a great deal of respect. But then we move slowly, gradually, into a more pragmatic grasp of what that means. And we refer to then in one of our talks to the kingdom of heaven that is within, that place of sacredness that is in all of us, in which we can touch our holy creator, the source of our being. As Yeshua said, don't look for the kingdom of heaven over there or over here and say, oh, it's approaching. We see it in that object, or we see it in that configuration of destiny. No, he said it's inside you. And so we looked at that. And indeed it's true. Then we looked at how that connects to our physical body. We looked at how the very first cell ever created when we were conceived physically was a heart cell. Isn't that fascinating? And even after it multiplied hundreds of times, it was still a complex aggregate of heart cells. Only after the heart cells needed a diversified function were the other organs of our body then created. And even then, only through a delegated function of communication was the autonomic nervous system created before there was ever a brain. And only after the autonomic nervous system became complex enough to need a switchboard was the brain created. And so we see that always at the beginning of our being were the heart cells. So on a physical, emotional, spiritual, and ultimate creative level, which is our gateway to the Creator, we find the heart is sacred to our being. But when we enter the adventures of life, which we do at birth, here we are, we've taken on this adventure. In ordinary everyday life, how do we touch the ground of our being? That's what I want to talk about today. How do we find it in our character? How do we find it in our behavior? How do we find it in the goals we set for ourselves and in our interactions with our fellow human beings? And we haven't talked about these principles much, partly because I'm very reluctant to bring anything that could be ever turned toward judgment or limited venues or preferential modes of behavior. But there are a few that we can look at, and a few that take us back to the ground of our being. But first I want to talk about why the ground of our being is so important. And that's because we get lost in the adventures of our life. And every energy form, whether it's emotional or mental or physical, universal, or the energy of thought, or the energy of our heart, or the energy of the Holy Spirit, it still functions through a grounding principle. And this is what I provide for you in the blessing. This is what our blessing givers have learned how to provide for you, to become that neutral grounding wire, that neutral centering that we all need. This is why I ask you in the blessing to remove your shoes and socks and touch the earth. If you're incapacitated so that you can't do that, at least moisten your feet or have someone else do it for you. Put lotion on your feet so that you will be attracting the energy of the earth. Grounding's a really, really big word. It's a really, really big word in learning how to access these higher energies that we're calling the energy of life. And it's these other energies of life that are activated by thought and purpose and inspiration. But it's still very, very important to be grounded. And that's because we are part of everything. And it's just not going to take us into the higher realm to do it without being grounded. And this is one of the important things that Yeshua taught us with his life. He did not disconnect from the lepers. He did not disconnect from the hungry and the hurting. He touched them, and he was criticized for that. He was criticized for mingling with the poor and the hungry and the filthy and those who were quarantined from social connections because of their diseases. He was really criticized for that, but he said, I will disconnect from no one and from no thing. He would go out to the desert, and he would fast until his body had just literally melted into the ground of the desert. He drank water and nothing else, possibly not even much water, until he was one with the universe, and he would draw his strength from the ground and his strength from the ethers of the heavens so that he did not disconnect. The tempter came to him the night before his crucifixion and said, but Lord, by your power, by all that you are and all that is given to you to command, you can disconnect from this destiny. Just command the troops to go over there and command this and command that and take over the world. And he said, no, I will not disconnect. I will remain grounded. Now, many of us have heard the prophecies of the visionaries who have tempted us to disconnect into a world of privileged reality, whether it's privileged by money or privileged by spiritual inspiration. And something within us always comes back and says, but no, you must stay grounded. And I think that's the principal reason why so many people who have just, they have worked so profoundly on their spirituality, and they are so close to God, and they are so close to the gates of heaven, and then all of a sudden, they will be taken by a disease. And you wonder why. Why will this person be taken by a disease? And maybe they don't pass on to heaven. Maybe they stay on this earth. They're troubled. Why? They need to be grounded. They forgot the one last lesson Yeshua taught us, and that's the lesson of grounding. So I want to give you some guidelines in your life about grounding. And these are some behavioral guidelines. One is courage. You know, these are old-fashioned terms that have lost a lot of meaning in today's world. But it's just the grounding power of courage. What about honesty? The grounding power of honesty. You know, it's so easy to look at a partial report of facts, and you could say, but Glenda, I'm not lying. And I'm saying, yeah, but is it the whole truth you're looking at? Do you really have, is what you're looking at really the answer? Are chia seeds going to take you to heaven? Is this high fiber diet really, really the answer? Or is there more? Is just praying 24 hours a day really the answer? Or do you have to also take care of your fellow man? What about honor? What about honoring what you came here to do? What about being dedicated to the life purpose you chose, even though it may be challenging for you? You know, sometimes we turn away from our dedicated path because it's just a little too difficult. Or maybe being on our dedicated path might require compromises that then become embarrassing for us. Well, you know, Yeshua actually expressed all the emotions of humanity. He died. He cried when a friend died. He got angry when things weren't quite right in the temple. But he wasn't embarrassed by these things. He knew that it's part of our human temper. It's a part of our human temperament to have human expressions. It's all right to cry when we feel a loss. It's all right to feel a loss. It's all right to feel discouraged when there's cause for discouragement. It's all right to get angry when there's cause for anger. As long as then we look at the anger and we can honor why we became angry and forgive ourselves and others. Are you dedicated to your chosen purpose? And are you being responsible for that which you've chosen to take on in your life? Or do you just walk away when it's not so easy? Or it might be, you might seem a little embarrassed because you can't quite live up to what you said you could do. Or will you stay with your responsibility? You see, these human factors keep us in the ground of our being. And they're not easy. And these things, in a world that's driven toward the easy pathway today, these words are not talked about very much. We want to take on our purpose, and people come to me and say, well, Glenda, what is your purpose? And I said, I think it's a lot easier to discover your purpose than to stick with it. The question is, could you stick with it if you knew what it was? Or are you avoiding it because you think you can't stick with it? Or in sticking with it, is it possible that you won't walk the perfect pathway and then you have to deal with your own regrets or your own imperfections? You see, our ego takes us away from all of these things. It's our ego that causes us to defend ourselves, actually, against our honor. It's our ego that causes us to walk away and only be half honest. It's our ego that causes us to walk away from our dedication when something might embarrass us if we stayed with it. Or we might have to confess, well, this or that we didn't do perfectly, or a responsibility that we didn't fulfill. It's our ego. And the opposite of ego is the love that you are. The love that you are actually brings you into your humility, and it brings you into the ground of your being. The love that you are ultimately is the ground of your being. And I think that's why Yeshua, more than anything else, wanted us to see that love is who we are. It's not just what we do, because what we do can actually be glorified. We can take glory from our charity. We can take glory from the assistance we give to others. We can take glory from the medals we win or a job well done. And then that glory is turned into our ego. But will it sustain us through the hard times? Will our glory give us the courage to stand true to our path, even though we don't know everything? Can we have the courage to say, I don't know it all? I'm sorry, I can't do everything you need, but I'll stand with you because I love you. Can you be here in your courage, not having all the answers, but you know still what's important to you? You know what your principles are, even if you can't live up to them completely. You still stand by your principles. Well, that's when you're in your ground of being. And that's when the love that you are really shines. That's when, no matter what, you realize, you know, we're going to fail at something sometime in our life. It might as well be for something worth failing for. Unless we happen to be one of those who have fulfilled the understanding and crossed the bridge of life, we will probably experience physical death. Will you die for something worth dying for? Or will you just die alone and afraid, not knowing even why you lived? You see, this is why the finding the ground of your being is so important. And most of the time we don't receive or make ourselves available to the blessings of life because we have stepped outside the ground of our being. And Yeshua lived, he died, and he transcended death in order to demonstrate that the ground of our being is unfailing. Despite all the illusions that might make us think that we failed, or all of the imperfect emotions that might embarrass us, or all of the little imperfections that might create illusions of inadequacy, when we stand in our truth and we stand in the ground of our being, the blessings of God rain upon us so mightily that even death cannot cancel it out. And that's what he lived to show us. And I don't think there's really any more powerful lesson than that. And I just want to encourage you, no matter what condition you're in, how discouraged you may be, or how happy you may be, how fulfilled you may be, or how lost you may be, or how abandoned you may feel because of external circumstances that are challenging at the moment, stand in the ground of your being and receive all that God has to offer. Because it's only when you step to the left or the right that you move into your neediness and you move into your personal sense of inadequacy that then causes you to feel abandoned and not in the power of love and not in the power of the universe. None of you, myself included, none of us know how genuinely powerful we are. We were created as children of God, and all that Yeshua did and offered is ours also. But we need to learn how to do that and how to do it from the ground of our being, not skipping into some magical world where someone waves a magic wand and all of a sudden we've ascended and the ground underneath us doesn't exist. No, we have to do it inside the ground of our being. We have to do it inside the adventures of our life, inside whatever we think is a deficiency of our life. It's there we find our honor, our principles, and our courage. So, be sure your shoes and socks are removed. And if you can, sit up so that the crown of your head is facing to the heavens. We like to pull in the energy of the cosmos through our head. We like to pull in the ground, the energy from our beautiful Mother Earth through our feet. And let it join in our heart along with your prayers. Pray in your heart to your Creator, however you see the Creator, and know that Yeshua will join you to enhance, multiply, and activate your prayers that they may fulfill your life. Pray for 3 minutes as I conduct through him, he through me, the Holy Spirit through us all, the prayers and the gifts of heaven. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being our brother, our guide, our teacher, our light, the one who has shown us the way, and the template of our true being, that we may stand in the ground of our being and be the love that we are. May we know that it is from that love and from the love of God that all things are healed, all things are made abundant, and all things are made perfect, despite all the illusions of the external world. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now, I would like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't speak or talk or think. Just rest and assimilate the energy of the blessing into your whole body, heart, soul, and being. My love goes with you, but most especially the love of God. May you have a blessed week, and I look forward to seeing you back next week. Bye-bye.